here at Monte, 18 months ago now, we shared as elders a sort of a vision for the next 3 years. We wanted to be heading somewhere. That somewhere was to be a healthy church. A healthier than where we were 18 months ago. We want to be a healthy church that, and we spoke about some things that we think would describe a healthy church. One of those things was around prayer. And that's why we're spending 5 weeks in prayer, on the series of prayer. It's why we wanted to encourage and give more opportunities for us to pray together. A few weeks ago, we've broken this up with Easter for a couple of weeks. So a few weeks ago, we started by looking at the sin of prayerlessness. We followed that on with praying for one another as believers. We actually looked at the letter of Ephesians and touched a bit on Ephesians 6, but we spoke about the standings, taking a stand. Sitting with Christ in Ephesians 2, that we our identity in Christ. That we pray for one another that we'd be fully aware of who we are in Christ. That we would be praying for one another in our walk with the Lord. Our everyday trust that God is with us, that we walk well with the Lord, that we live a life that pleases the God, our God. And then that we would pray for one another in the way that we stand against the enemy. That we would be on the defense, that we wouldn't give the enemy a foothold in our life. But we'd also be on the offense to take territory off the enemy as we share the gospel with people in our communities. And today we're sort of just pushing into that space a little bit as we consider praying for our city. Praying for our city of Montmorency, our city of Melbourne, our city of Bendigo for the days, wherever it might be you are. And it's not a city versus country thing. We know people can get a bit upset when you talk about country versus city, and city folk have got no idea what it's like in the country. It's actually not that, but I was staggered that 86% of Australia's population live in major cities. 86%. Over 20 million of the 26 or whatever it is live in the major cities. Melbourne, we have in our suburbs, Melbourne is about 5.5 million. And right here in Monte and Briar Hill, this little pocket, is around 13, 14,000 people that live in this little area where this church is located. The fact is, wherever people are, God has a concern. There might be more in the cities, but wherever people are, God has a concern for them. And so should we. There are many stories in the Bible about people who prayed for cities. A couple that come to my mind, the first one is Abraham for Sodom and Gomorrah. You might remember Abraham, wouldn't you not destroy the righteous with the wicked in that place? You know, if there were 50 righteous there, would you not destroy it? Even Abraham knew there weren't 50. He goes down to 45 and then down to 10. And God says, I'll spare the city even if there are 10 who are righteous. And Abraham probably thought that Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't going to be destroyed. There must be 10. It seems like there are only 4. Lot and his wife and 2 daughters that came out of that place before God destroyed it in judgment. Oh God, do something with Sodom and Gomorrah was Abraham's cry. A completely different circumstance was, I think, Jonah and Nineveh. They had an amazing revival in that place.
But Jonah was unhappy. All these people getting saved and turning to God. You'd think he'd be saying, God, what a wonderful thing. We've got to share this on Facebook and get the word out there. Revival. But he sits outside the city and all this heat and desert and he's unhappy. He gets the tree and then the worm comes along and it's like, Jonah, why are you upset? Don't be angry. And he says, I've got a right to be angry. You're concerned about this tree, the Lord says. You should be concerned about the people. And so that sort of reminds me that that attitude so easily creeps into my life and I might not be alone. That we get more concerned about some of the little luxuries in life. We get more concerned with things that are of the world and are not eternal. And we don't have the same concern for the people. Simon Mbunga, the pastor in Zambia, who we have supported, and I know Graham's in contact with him a lot, and I get some WhatsApp messages from him every now and again, and usually just about prayer points, and he'll send pictures of the school that they're setting up, or the church building that is just like this walls and a roof, you know, with holes. There's no windows and there's no doors. It's just entrance is just like through the wall, like just a hole in the wall. They've got a new business venture to support local families. And though, when I read those things and I look at those things, what he's going through and dealing with, I'm so quickly, I have to stop and think, where is my concerns at? That the air conditioning's not on 21, it's been on 23. It's not cool enough. I know that's just tedious, but where is our concern at? Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you weren't willing. I touched on it a couple of weeks ago, that passage, and Jesus' heart for the city, not for the bricks and mortar, but his heart for the people, it ached because of their attitude. His chosen people who rejected him. So I just want to touch on the plight and the prayer, the plight, the predicament, the circumstances that we find ourselves in this city, the plight of Monty, of Melbourne. And the prayer for Monty. The prayer for Melbourne. I think that the plight is the negative side, yeah? We've got to look at the yucky stuff. I'm not going to obviously cover everything. But if you go to the book of Daniel, Daniel was praying to God. And he had a vision. And God has sent an angel to Daniel. Most believe the angel to be Gabriel, that was supposed to send a message to Daniel. But it says in Daniel 10, he couldn't get through to Daniel for 21 days. He says, I was stopped by the prince of Persia. And then Michael the archangel came and let me through. You know, it's frightening. I find it frightening to consider what is going on in the unseen world. It is frightening to consider the spiritual warfare which we can't see with our eyes. Oh, but we can see the impact of it, the influence of it. The passage we read in Ephesians 6, it says that Satan is organized according to rulers, authorities and powers of the world and spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. I can't really stand here and honestly say I fully comprehend exactly what those words actually mean. But I know it means that there is a tremendous warfare taking place constantly. And so how often do we pray for the spiritual warfare going on in our city? In our suburb here of Monty? It could very well be a barrier in sharing the gospel that this is happening. But I believe that through prayer, we can go against the invisible powers. That through prayer, we can break barriers that are now in place from stopping us sharing the good news with people and are impacting their life. A couple of these barriers I see in our society. The first one I think is a big one is religion. Religion that can become a barrier from believing and trusting Jesus. There are so many churches, there are so many religions. There's so many churches that are like Christianity, that sound like Christianity. But their rituals and traditions are dead and there's no teaching on a personal relationship with Jesus. And if it doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus in the heart of its message and a reason for existence, it will never be used by God. The fastest growing religion in Australia in the last 15 years is Islam. But you know what the greatest growth in religious change is? In Australia, people identifying as no religion at all. It is now just under 40% of all Australians, according to a census. I don't think Satan cares about the thousands of religions which one you go and invest your time and money and energy into. Even if it's no religion at all. As long as you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, where your sins have been forgiven, where you are empowered by the Spirit of God to live a new transformed life. I don't think Satan cares at all. Even religion on the surface can seem like a promoting goodness and there's some great acts of goodness that come out of all different sort of religions. But it can misdirect people and I think it become a barrier in people's hearts and minds that they don't listen to the truth of the gospel. Secondly, I think the barrier of I'd say evil, but crime, you know, it's a broad term. But crime that sparks fear into our hearts and minds of our own security and safety. You know, protection in your house, in our streets, and even in our neighbourhood, how safe do we feel? The crime and also immoral lifestyles. And I'm lumping them together for the sake of time. And I won't be going by that clock. I keep looking at it, but I can't go by it. You know, in Melbourne, we hear a lot about this on the news, but crime is up 15% in 23 to 24. We often hear about the bail laws, and we can speak about what government has and hasn't done, and all these things. But you know what it actually boils down to is that the evil. There's evil in the heart of man. I think it speaks more to the depths of the darkness of our minds. One of the most horrible statistics around crime is that more than 70 women in Australia were killed at the hands of a man that was their spouse or partner or ex-partner in 1 year, last year. There's a lot of violence in our city. Maybe we feel a little bit insulated. I don't know your experience, but maybe you feel a bit insulated from that. You see it on the news, but you don't actually experience it. But can you imagine living in a home with that sort of violence, where there is no safety? Children who have lived in an environment of spousal abuse, whose parents perhaps are in jail and through drug addictions and other crimes. And so the home life is a complete mess. Consider what infidelity in a marriage does for children's mental well-being and their understanding of what a healthy relationship looks like. Have you ever thought about how that may give people a complete sense of hopelessness? And we often see trauma lived out in a life of someone who repeats their experience. Can we take time to get a burden for the emotional turbulence and the heaviness that this is having on our city? The people in our community, in our street, probably, here in Monty. My experience tells me that people in life, especially as they get older, are searching for something to find fulfillment in. Inevitably, these sort of strongholds and lifestyles and actions in our cities are used by Satan to take control in people's minds. Not that they aren't responsible, but it is used by the enemy in people's minds and lives. People turn to these sorts of things to cope, and all sorts of other things, to feel fulfillment. And I think those things then become a barrier in people's lives to block out any noise of the truth of the gospel. Evil exists, and all these things would still exist if it wasn't for Satan, because we are a broken people. We are born with the sinful nature separated from God. But I think Satan strengthens these barriers. He digs their foundations in people's lives. And the enemy does this sort of thing in all suburbs, even the leafy, well-to-do Montmorency. And there are people of the 13, 14,000 in Briar Hill, Monty, I know will be deeply rooted in some of these lifestyles and barriers to hearing the gospel. Paul said that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Jesus said that he is the God of this world. And in 1 John, John wrote that the whole world is cradled in the lap of the wicked one. And he wants to make sure that it is smothered in his power and influence. As I thought more and more about the plight of our city, oh, we are one of the best cities to live in around the world. And there's so much more that could be said. But what about the positive? What about prayer? What is our responsibility in this place? What is our responsibility in Monty, in our street, in this city of Melbourne? Now, I think we need to understand that the invisible barriers to the gospel that impact on people's lives, to where they will not listen, where they will not be in a place to hear you out of who Jesus is, that they can be broken down through prayer. Mark 3, Jesus reminds us that there is something to be done before we set the captives free. There is something that needs to be done before people will be saved, that are barriers from them hearing the gospel. We want them freed, and God has the power and authority to step into any and every situation, no matter the devil's foothold and stronghold in people's lives, to free them up to hear the good news, to create opportunities for you and I that we would never ever have, to be able to share Jesus in our city. There's an amazing thing that Jesus said in Mark 4. Sometimes when the word of God is preached into people's minds, Satan comes and snatches it out of their minds. I am flabbergasted a bit about the whole spiritual realm and warfare. I must admit, I feel very... Probably ignorant is the right word, as someone who's been a Christian most of my life, that I have not taken enough time to fully understand or to grasp the necessity to pray for the spiritual warfare going on around us. God has given us authority in Christ to pray into these situations. There's some crazy things, powerful things that the Satan can have in his influence and power in the city, in people's lives. And so to never pray, because this has been my experience throughout my life at times, to never pray against the evil forces in our street, in our workplaces, in our friends, to never pray is to completely underestimate the power and work of Satan. Our responsibility, Jesus said, go and make disciples. Oh, this great news. Forgiveness of sins. You don't earn it. This is a gift. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. You'll be saved for eternity into the kingdom of God. No matter who you are, where you've been, God can come into your life and change you right now. Our responsibility, go, teach, make disciples, baptize. But don't underestimate the spiritual battle. Don't underestimate it. Pray continuously. Because I think underestimating it means not praying. So pray continuously. Whenever you walk a street near home, near church, you might not know the people. Maybe you've met them once. Maybe you do know a bit more about their life. Whatever it might be, pray for them. That the stronghold of the enemy would be released. I don't know how many times I've walked up and down Weir Street. But I haven't stopped and prayed enough for the shopkeepers. Especially ones that might be captive by the enemy. Pray continuously. Pray continuously for our city. Are we willing to take a stand against the enemy, against Satan in prayer? Our city can be intimidating. The culture that we live in can be intimidating. People that we come across can be intimidating. And it can be intimidating to stand up for what is right. To trust God in how to live in my workplace, how to live in my home where there are non-believers. Joshua was walking around the city of Jericho. We know the story, don't we? God destroyed the walls. You know, 40 years earlier, they could have taken that city. But instead, they went to the desert for 40 years because they were intimidated. The spies went out. Only Joshua and Caleb had good reports. But the other 10, they're big people. They're giants. Those walls, man, we're no chance. But isn't it interesting when they go in 40 years later and the spies, they talk to Rahab, the prostitute, and she says, our hearts here in this place have been terrified for 40 years. What have you been doing? We heard about what God did for you. The Red Sea. We heard about the people that you've destroyed to get here. Our hearts melt for fear. And we've been wondering, what have you been doing? Isn't it so much easier to see the walls and to see the giants than it is to see and trust God can be at work in this place? And I think that is sometimes why we lack the spiritual vision for family. And I've often said I find family the hardest to witness to. But often we lack the spiritual vision for our friends. Maybe friends we've known for 30, 40 years, all our life. They don't know Jesus. And I think at times I think, well, I've known this person a long time. They haven't turned to Jesus. I've spoken about my faith. It just seems like their heart is too hard. It seems like they have everything. They actually lack nothing. They're content with life. They're doing well. They're happy. They're not interested in faith. It's like they've made up their mind. And it can lead to me and maybe you stop praying for them. God won't take up control of their life. It's just like it's not for them. And the giants and the walls seem greater than our God. Well, what God are we talking about when we say those things? What a blight on my faith and my prayer life, on your prayer life and your faith, to think that God isn't greater than any human heart and can't transform and move in anyone's life. How embarrassing it is to think about how infrequently I've prayed for my city, for my street, for Mayona Road. Jumping to assumptions that this family group, this person, my friend, will never be changed by God's grace and love. And so I ask God, and I ask you this morning, my prayer, that today God will lift up our vision. Why can't we, under the powerful hand of God, begin to make a much bigger dent into the territory of the enemy? Why can't we see, we won't see people converted from darkness to light? Why won't that happen in this place? Why would we ever, ever again say, and I pray it doesn't come out of my lips ever again, it seems inevitable that someone will never trust God. And prayer dries up. Relationship can sometimes dry up. And I'm praying today that God will raise up in me, that will raise up in us as a church to have a greater desire to pray for our city. To pray continuously. To pray consistently. That there is no wall big enough. There is no barrier that God can't break down in order to get into the life of someone and share the gospel with them. God is greater than all of our fears, all of our insecurities, and he's greater than any barrier and any power that exists in our city. Whether that be of the spiritual realm or the physical. Pray for our city. Pray for our community. That they may experience the power of the gospel. That saves sinners. That transforms lives from hopelessness to hope. From the chaos of this world to peace. From people who are aimlessly wandering through life that brings purpose. But we need to be a people of prayer. If we are to be a healthy church, we need to be a people of prayer. Praying for this city, praying for Monty, praying for the communities that we exist in. That we would pray for them and then be willing to go into them. And be the presence of God. Empowered by the Spirit to make a dent in the territory of the enemy. Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, that we come to you, the powerful, almighty God of heaven. That there is no one like you. There is no one greater than you. That you know all things. You know the struggles of our own heart and life. You know the struggles of the people in our streets, in our suburbs, in our city. May the burden of our heart, may the concerns of our heart be the burden and the concerns that are yours. Oh, that you want to see people saved. People would believe that Jesus Christ gave his life for them, was raised from the dead, and we have new life in Christ, a life of purpose, a life of power, and a life of hope for what is to come. May this message encourage us and inspire us to live for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.